You know, because the more you're around the apostle, the more you're around the anointing, the more what's on him gets saturated on you, because you're constantly hearing that word and it's constantly going into your spirit, and you're around a spiritually charged atmosphere. For people who are members of the church or people who watch online, when the apostle travels, he's actually operating in his apostolic ministry. So a lot of times there's a greater anointing, more manifestation take place because he's an apostle to the nation in the area of finances. So when you're in those type of atmospheres, you're conducive to receive greater results in your life because you're getting greater impartation that's coming on the inside of you. You know, and it's, believe me, it is not the same watching it on the internet or watching it on Roku. I've done it, and you do get something from it, but when you're in the midst of those meetings, it makes all the difference in the world, believe me. You know, we look forward to trying to make as many as we can. And when you purpose in your heart, God will supernaturally provide the finances and the resources for you to get there. You know, it's, let there be, those are good faith projects. Praise God. I believe God for the time off or my job, whatever it takes for me to get to the meetings. You know, sometimes we'll be humping to get there, but we do what we need to do to get there. Amen. All right. We got about 2 minutes left. I'm just trying to do some fill time since you guys came in early because you would, classes were removed for because of the video. Amen. Praise God. But these last 2 months or 2.5 months, you know, just try to soak in as much of what's being taught, you know. And then one of the things, too, while I'm saying this, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Just after you graduate, don't let that be your last time where you sit under the apostle, come and glean from the ministry. It's really just the beginning. You know, a lot of people, they come through the school and we never see them again. You know, they'll use, well, I graduated from Word of Life Christian Center, School of Ministry, Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. But the revelation and the anointing is progressive. It's constantly on the move. And so what you guys are getting here now was we didn't get that 22, 23 years ago. You know, so it's good to stay connected. I guess that's what I'm really saying. Definitely make sure you stay connected. Because there's always more. There's always more. Amen. All right. I didn't talk until time to get started. All right. Let's go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that your spirit and your anointing is going to be on this service. I just thank you right now, Lord God, for each and every person and the sound of my voice. Lord God, we just ask that you bless us, Lord God, with your presence, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that the students are getting everything they need to be more than conquerors, Lord God, to go and fulfill the work and the ministry, the call that you have on their lives. I just thank you for our apostle, and I thank you for the anointing that's on his life. And I thank you right now, Lord God, that he's pouring his life, pouring his heart out into us, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, that we receive from our apostle everything that you have for us, Lord God. And we just thank you right now. We're going to go out and be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I just give you all the praise, Lord God. And I thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. I thank you for showing up and manifesting yourself in this service. For if you don't show up, Lord, Holy Spirit, you know I'll fall flat on my face. I'm depending totally and completely upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're going to try to conclude with the 8 stages of disloyalty, which ultimately leads to dishonor. We talked about several different stages in the last couple of weeks, and I kind of went over some things. But just to kind of highlight, to try to bring some things in perspective, you know, we talked about the first stage, which was the independent spirit. And we said that person who operates in the independent spirit, they operate independently from the group. And a lot of times they think that not all the rules apply to them, that they can do what they want to do. They have an independent spirit. And when a person begins to operate independently from delegated authority and work apart from what God has assigned, well, then they're entering into those first stages of just disloyalty. It's okay to be an independent thinker, but at the same time, God wants us to operate as one man. And that's so very important that we flow together as one, being in one accord. And then we said the second stage was offense. You know, when a person gets offended, they off in the process of what God wants to do. And when a person gets offended, if they don't get that right, one of the things I shared in our earlier classes is not to let the sun go down on your wrath. But whenever you get offended, you need to release it and let it go and ask God for forgiveness. Forgive the person, because you don't want to hold that grudge, hold that offense in your heart, because it's gonna cause you to lose out spiritually and begin to fall back. Because we said the third stage was passive. Once a person gets offended, a lot of times they're not as active in ministry or in the ministry of helps anymore. They kind of sit back and they started observing things. And like I said, they instead of getting in the game, they're sitting on the bench. And they're just brooding over their sores because they didn't get over that offense. And so now they're just sitting back, and you know, they're not getting involved. They're not saying anything. But as I stated earlier, I said, you never want to let the sun go down on your wrath. You want to release it, you know, but if not, you know, the Bible says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. If it's just a little sore, a little indifference, it'll slowly begin to eat at you. Like I said, a cancer may start just at one or two cells, but if it's not dealt with, it just continues to grow. And before long, it just multiplies. And then once a person leaves that passive stage, then they get into what we call the critical stage. And the critical stage is a person who fault finds. Now that they're not passive forever, now they begin to be critical. And a lot of times, the person who gets critical, they try to involve others in their criticality by saying, well, you know, did you notice this, or why isn't this way and that way? And so they're verbalizing what offended them because of being independent, because of not letting offensive go. They get into a critical stage. What we want to begin to deal with now is the fifth stage, which is the political stage. A person who operates in the political stage, when a person becomes political, he tries to involve others in his ideas and philosophies. Politicians operate on the power and opinions of other people. What people think and say is what concerns them the most. As a person who operates in the political stage, if you think about a politician, they want to appease everybody. You know, they because they want your vote. But when you begin to be political from a spiritual point of view, you're trying to drum up support for your criticality or the things that you're critical about. You find people or a group of people who may think or have, and a lot of times is people who are unsuspected people. You know, they'll just hear you say, "Yeah, well, I never really thought about it that way." You know. But then this is a person who's political, who never really got in the game. You know, I say whenever you're involved in something, I was talking with somebody at work the other day. And one of the things we were talking about is that, a gentleman at work, and he was saying that his pastor was ministering a sermon. And the sermon was talking about people who don't get involved are the ones who always criticizing what they think should be done or what's not being done. And one of the things I learned in sociology years ago, if you're not part of the solution, well, then you are in fact part of the problem, you know. And so a person who's political, he wants to gather a group of followers and make people believe that they're identifying with him or he's identifying with them, and that for some reason, the authority that's in place is not meeting their needs, you know. And so we're going to look at some scriptures where Absalom got into that particular situation. And actually what had happened, Absalom went into all each one of these stages that we're talking about. It says here that Absalom was hurt and he was offended because of what happened to his sister Tamar. And we talked about that, how she was raped by his half-brother. And David, who was the king, who was also his father, didn't deal with the situation like he should have because of incest and because of rape, the penalty should have been death. But the person wasn't put to death. The person was just disciplined, and that really got next to Absalom. And for 2 years, he just let it slide. He didn't say or didn't do anything about it, but he got passive, and then he got critical about it. And then all of a sudden, now he begins to get other people in his thought life. It says here in 2 Samuel 15:3, it says, now he began to involve other people in his disloyal thoughts. And Absalom said unto them, see the matter of good and right, but there is no man deputing or assigned to the king to hear, you know, your concerns. In other words, I'm going to be that man. It says in 2 Samuel 15:4-6, it says, Absalom was moreover, oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I will do them justice. So now he's just like a politician. He's pleading his case. Verse 5 says, and it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do obeisance, he brought forth his hand and took him and kissed him. In other words, he saluted him. Come on, let me hear what you got to say. You know, what's going on in your life? Verse 6, he says, and of this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. And so here is somebody who's basically drumming up support for his cause. They wanted to come to the king, you know, but David was busy. And it even said that Absalom would even sit at the gate, and as people would go into the chambers, he would pull them over to the side and question them and say, "What, you know, what's your concern?" It says this, after this, Absalom, this is 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1-6, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. It says, after this, Absalom got a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. And he rose up early and stood beside the gateway. And when any man who had a controversy came to the king for judgment, Absalom called to him and of what city are you from? And then he would go on and say, and he would say, your servant is of such and such is a tribe of Israel. Absalom would say to him, your claim is good and right, but there's no man appointed as the king's agent to hear you. Absalom added on that I will judge in the land. Then every man with any suit or cause might come to me, and I will do them justice. For whenever a man came near to do obeisance to him, he would put out his hand and hold it and hold him and kiss him or salute him. Thus Absalom did to all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. In other words, he was swaying the opinions of people into his favor. And as we know, Absalom actually went into war against David. So when people drum up a political agenda, you know, and one of the things we always talk about is someone who has their own agenda. Absalom had his own agenda. Instead of submitting to his father, instead of submitting to the king, he started to drum up support for his own political agenda. It is so very important that whatever ministry, whatever you're called to do, you know, your vision or the vision that you're under is the vision that your man of God is under. In other words, you're under his vision. You have no vision. It should be that you submit totally and completely to what God has called him to do. and you undergird that vision. You don't try to undermine. And you see, that's where the dishonor comes in. It starts off as just being disloyal and not being completely loyal and trustworthy. But then it moves, and I said it's progressive. But now one of the things I also want to point out is not every one of these stages happens 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 as always. Sometimes a person may start off in the critical stage and move all the way to the last stage, which is execution. You know, we'll get to that in a few minutes. And sometimes a person may start passive, but there's always going to be an offense involved, and eventually a person will begin to verbalize, you know, what's in their heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's something we want to always make sure of, that we don't let what comes out of our mouth defile us. You know what I mean by that is, even if sometimes thoughts, and that's why the word says to cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, when a person brings up false accusations or their own opinions that I know just aren't right, I cut them off right there. Look, hey, look, we're not discussing this. You know, this is not, if this came from headquarters, it's not up for discussion. We're gonna do what we're told. You know, and most times people like that, I kind of mark them and I keep my distance, because whatever you hear, you're gonna be accountable for. You know, and it you know, you got to get it out. You know, it's almost like, you know, one of the things we're learning about assimilation and elimination. There's certain things got to be eliminated. Got to be spiritually. There's certain things got to be eliminated, just like physically. If we want to keep our spirit clean, just like if you want to keep your physical body clean. You know, the apostle been talking about you know, herbs and eating right and like assimilation and elimination. Spiritually, there's an assimilation and there's an elimination. You know, you want to keep bad influences, bad things, you know, from, you know, and when they try to get in you, you got to flush them out, because it's not what goes into a person that defiles him, it what comes out of their mouth. Matter of fact, there was some scriptures I want to read on that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you. Anyway, let's move on. The people of Israel were so impressed with the king's son for two reasons. Number one, he was so handsome and physically attractive. As we stated, Absalom had long hair. He could grow massive lengths of hair. He was very attractive and a very handsome man to look at. And number two, he seemed to care for them. You know, a lot of times people in that political stage, they, you know, when a person is running for an office, they want to befriend everybody, because they want their agenda and they want people to think that they're loyal. But a lot of times, and especially in situations like this, is they're trying to get their own political agenda, their own agenda, and not the agenda of the house out. They're trying to get their own agenda. After impressing them for a while, Absalom won their hearts. So Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel. 2 Samuel 15:6. Like I said, he swayed the public opinion in his favor against David. When people become political, he wants to involve others in their train of thought. Now listen to this. You see, the more people that you can involve in something that's controversial, the more of their confidence you can gain. When a person becomes political, they want to involve others in their train of thought. The more that they can discuss controversial matters of the church with you, the more of your confidence they will gain. And what happens is, in that political stage, they'll say things like, you know, seems to me the service is going too long. You know, why are we not singing these songs as opposed to that song? You know, why we don't have a big choir? Why this or why that? You know, is always something that they're saying that promulgates their agenda. These questions are used to bait unsuspecting Christians. They drag innocent members into analyzing of issues that are above them that shouldn't concern them. One of the things I've learned over the years, I tell people I'm on a need-to-know basis, And if leadership or those who are over me don't give me information about something, well, then I don't need to know. You know, I'm on a need to know. Because, see, the worst thing you can be is a busybody, is to try to dabble in, well, why this is not happening. See, what happens is those are the things that lead to disloyalty, and those are the things that will eventually cause you to walk in dishonor. One of the things, the book that I'm pulling from, Loyalty Versus Disloyalty, a lot of the same scriptures that is in the spirit of honor are in, and even the same analogies. But the author of Loyalty Versus Disloyalty, he breaks it down in stages, you know, and that final stage is when an individual just completely and totally walk in dishonor, to where they're deceived to the point where there's no turning back. Satan was deceived to the point where there was no turning back. Judas was deceived to the point that there was no turning back. Corinth, who when it came against Moses, was deceived to the point that, you know, and there's always a judgment that takes place because of that deception. Throughout the Bible, throughout history, you know, people who fall for that, they'll end up in destruction. And that's why, and you know, and I was thinking the last couple of days, I said, Lord, it almost seems like everything I'm talking about is of almost of a negative connotation when we're talking about honor. But one of the things the Lord began to share with me, he said, if you know the bad consequences of not following orders, of not submitting properly, of not letting the sun go down on your wrath, well, then it helps you to identify problem areas that you see, but at the same time also it helps keep you from not falling in the same pitfalls. You know, when I see a situation and somebody fall into a pit, well, then I know that ain't the route that I'm planning on taking. You know, so sometimes even negative connotations, when you look at it for your good, you know, I was thinking about a gentleman I work with. He's during Desert Storm, he was called into active duty. His his unit was called into active duty because he was in the reserve. And one of the things he did was his unit went out on various roads with a minesweeper. And they were looking for mines on the road because before the big trucks and artillery would come, they wanted to make sure that those roads were free of any landmines. And he described to me the process, which was real slow. They had some type of detector going out there in front of the truck. And when it sensed something, then they had to do various things depending on what type of mine they thought it was to deactivate that thing and to clear the road so that the military could advance, you know. When you know the tricks of the enemy, you're not going to be deceived, and you know how to walk properly. You know how to conduct yourself. You know, you're not going to be deceived by Satan's tactics, because one of the things he wants to do, he wants to derail you. He wants to derail us. God has a destiny for each and every one of us, you know, and the worst thing you can do is to do something dishonorable to derail you from your destiny. You know, I've seen too many people derail because they let some occurrence or something, or some of the stuff we talked about in the last couple of weeks, derail them and alter their destiny. And sometimes you can get back on track, but I know a lot of people that they still going around in circles. You know, not making no far progress in their life, spiritually, you know, and it hurts because these were people just like you guys who I sat beside in classes, you know, 20 some years ago. And I see them going around in circles, you know, and what I desire more so than anything else is to see men and women walk in honor towards their man or their woman of God and receive the blessing. You know, stick with it till the end. You know, matter of fact, I like the way Elijah said it: as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you. You know, I'm sticking with Elijah because God assigned me to you. You know, Elijah wasn't the first servant. There was another servant, but he messed up, you know. But I'm sure Elijah said, well, look, hey, if he went left, I know I'm going right. I'm not going in the same direction, you know. You know, there was one servant, he would take favors from other people. They wanted to bless Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't take it. But Gehazi was saying, I take it. Give it to me. You know, I've known people who did that, you know, who followed closely to the apostle. You know, they got derailed. You know, you tell them, no, it's not time. No, don't receive that. You know, give it back, you know, because one of the things I've learned, even when I'm ministering in prison, I'm getting off my lesson, but there are times people will compliment you and almost to the point of even exalting you, letting you know, brother, you are such a blessing. But one thing I have to realize is, you know, I am a product of what I've been taught, of the anointing that I've been sitting under. Because apart from that, I wouldn't even be standing here right now. You know, and so 80% of what you know, and from a spiritual point of view, is things that you've been taught from your spiritual leader, from your man or your woman of God, or from the apostle that you sit under. And so that's why the Bible says it's so very important to give honor to whom honor is due, because when you do that, it actually comes back upon you. You know, when we travel, we go to the various, you know, churches for supernatural money coming to you conferences. There's always a student or somebody come up to them and say, Brother Calhoun, your class really, and say, and your examples, said, I really like your examples. I never forget this one person, you know, there was a student 2 or 3 years ago. They quoted something I said pretty much word for word. And it just blessed me, you know, and one thing I've learned to do is always stay small in your own eyes, because I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for my man of God, if it wasn't for me learning how to submit properly and follow orders and do what I've been told, you know, and recognize that I'm sitting under another man's ministry, and to be faithful in where God has called me to be, you know. And when you do that, you're not going to have any problems. You're not going to have any problems. Let me move on, because I haven't gotten nowhere yet. All right, let's move on. All right, let's go to stage number six. Number six is the deceptive stage. One thing I want to be sure about, that people who rebel against delegated authority, they are grossly deceived. You know, one thing to be sure of, people who rebel against God's delegated authority or God's delegated government, they are grossly deceived. If they were not deceived, they would not do some of the things that they did. Most people who have rebelled ended up in destruction. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything here. We must realize that every, and I just stated this a little while ago, we must realize that though that every minister is tempted, you know, church members and people in the ministry through thoughts. Many rebellious people are deceived into thinking they are greater or equal to their senior pastor or their man of God, you know, whoever they submit to. Sometimes a son in ministry can rise up and do greater things than his father. But that doesn't mean that you're greater than your father, your spiritual father. Jesus said, I only do what I see my father do. Now, one thing about Jesus doing his earthly ministry, we're talking about the spirit of deception, are people who walk in that deceptive stage, you know. And what I mean by that is they think, well, I've arrived. I've learned more. I'm ready to move on. You know, I don't need the connection anymore because I got everything I needed. That's a deception. Even though Jesus only ministered within a 200-mile radius of where he was born, you got ministries now, you know, who travel worldwide. The apostle has been to several foreign countries and all over the United States. You know, Jesus didn't think it was a threat, because when he knew people who was going to precede him was going to do greater things, because he said, greater things than what I've done, you're going to do the greater works. You know, why? Because one thing a father always wants, they want their children to do more, to advance to a greater degree, you know, than where they are. But that does not mean that you become greater, because you are a product of the environment or the anointing that you've been under. And if it wasn't for that anointing, if it wasn't for you submitting to where you've been called to, you would not be where you are. You never want to forget where you came from. You never want to forget where you came from, because that's your source. You know, a gentleman this past Sunday brought his dad to church. He witnessed to his father, and his father got saved, and they had kind of gotten, you know, separated over the years, and you know, but you know, the next time I talk to him, I'm gonna let him know from a spiritual perspective, that's honor. You know, you bring your dad to the Lord, you bring him to church, you bring him out to dinner, you honor him, because he is your life source. You know, yeah, he might have messed up, yeah, he might have went off and left you and didn't spend time with you, you know, but you would have not been here if it was not for him. So you honor him, you know, and God will restore the years that was lost, you know. But when you honor someone, the life experiences that they went through, the mishaps and what have you, because you honor them, God will permit you to be able to go through and around those things, and they won't affect you. But when you dishonor them, you ever heard the expression, a chip off the old block? You know, if they fell in the ditch, if you don't treat them right and respect them, the same ditches they fell in, you gonna fall in. Why? Because of dishonor, you know. But when you respect and honor them and give them the honor that's due them because of what they've done for you, you can't help but be blessed. All right, let me move on. I'm getting off the track again. But it's all good in Jesus' name. All right, let me move on. The Son is never greater than the Father, neither is he that sent greater than the one that, let me read it again. The Son is never greater than the Father, neither is he that was sent greater than the one that sent him out. That's so very important. The Son is never greater than the Father, neither is he, which is the Father, that should be sending you out in ministry. You're not greater than the one that sent you out. You must give honor to whom honor is due. It is unfortunate that when we make little gains in ministry, we begin to think that we are greater than the one that helped get us there. And that's never the case. You must remember that you have been helped by somebody to get where you are in ministry. You must never forget that in a sense, you have been set where you are by someone else. Lucifer was appointed. Listen to this. Lucifer was appointed by God to be over the worship in heaven. You know, God placed him there, you know, but this is the same Lucifer who said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now, how do you expect to be greater than somebody who placed you there? You know, the Almighty. But see, that's where pride gets in. We talked about pride, I think it was last semester. You know, pride will come before the fall. You know, the student is never greater than the teacher. Judas, Jesus was Judas's teacher. He was the apostle that Judas sat under. But he deceived his own teacher. He betrayed him by turning him in. You know, for a few pieces of silver. You know. And that's total dishonor. First of all, it's disrespect, but that disrespect leads to disloyalty, and it led it to dishonor, and it ended up in his execution. And we're going to get to that in a few minutes. So enough said about that. Let me move on. Lucifer's heart was lifted up with pride because of his beauty. He said, Thy heart is lifted up because of thy beauty, because thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they shall behold thee. How can someone in their right mind fight against their own creator, their own spiritual father, their teacher? You know, this is gross deception. When a person starts to do that, they're self-deluded. They're getting into deception. It's not only is it a dishonor, but it's going to lead to, not only is it disloyalty, but it will lead to dishonor. The spirit, listen to this, the spirit of Lucifer is the spirit that tries to replace and take over rightful authority. The spirit of Lucifer is a spirit that tries to replace and take over rightful authority. You know, here Lucifer tried to take over authority in heaven, but because of his rebellion, it led to his expulsion in heaven. The spirit of Judas is a treacherous spirit that tries to betray and turn against its own teacher. Judas betrayed Jesus. I want you to learn right here that all of these things are impossible. You cannot replace God or his delegated authority. You cannot succeed in fighting against your father, God, God will not help you. In fact, he will fight against you. Matter of fact, all of creation. Scripture in Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that marketh at his father, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." The eye that marketh at his father, physically or spiritually, it says the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. In other words, that's a form of destruction. Okay, we're going to move on to number seven now. The seventh stage of disloyalty is known as open rebellion. In this stage of deception, insurrection fights openly against authority. When a person gets into open rebellion, their heart now is exposed. And they're walking in total disloyalty, and they're crossing over to dishonor because now they're fighting openly against those who placed them where they are. The open fight comes about because of the deceptive confidence the rebel develops over months and years. In order to be in open rebellion, you first must be in deception. You know, the deception takes place, and then after you've been deceived, and now you go into the stage of open rebellion. And a person who's in open rebellion, he gains physiological support by gaining the support of some of the people he talked to. Remember, we talked about in a political stage, so he has a group of followers. Corinth had a group of followers. Lucifer deceived one third of the angels in heaven to fight against a God to try to overthrow. But him and the one third got cast out of heaven because of the deceptiveness and because of the open rebellion. It says here that Revelations 12 verses 7 and 9 says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels." Verse 8, "And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, and all the serpents called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Verse 9, that's Revelations 12, 7 and 9. So in open rebellion, you're going to be cast out. You're going to be separated. There's going to be a destruction that takes place. Absalom fought against his father, David. And this is what David said. And David said, "Behold, my son Absalom, who fought, who came out of my bowels, seeketh my life. You know, Absalom is seeking after David's life. And it says, and David and all his servants beheld, behold my son who was born to me, seeking my life. How much more reason now with this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse. In other words, he's walking into a curse, and the Lord had forbade him to do it, but he's doing it anyway. Judas betrayed and fought against, and I say fought by him betraying Jesus and having the council having him arrest Jesus and taking Jesus was a form of open rebellion and betrayal. And by doing so, we know that his lot was he ended up hanging himself. He ended up doing that for a few pieces of silver. All right, we're going to move on now to the last stage. The last stage is actually the execution stage. And before I start, let me kind of pre-reference. When you think about an execution, like Judas actually executed himself. He hung himself. You know, there's physical execution, but there's also spiritual execution. You know, when you come against delegated authority to that degree where you rebel and you've let deception come in, you let open rebellion come in, well, then you can execute your ministry. You can execute, you know, your spiritual advancement to where now you don't even hear God anymore. You know, God's not speaking to you anymore. You know, your life now, where water was flowing, now it's dry. You know, that's a form of spiritual execution. When spiritual water is not flowing, when the brook has dried up, and you're living in the valley of dry bones, you've executed yourself because you've cut off the very life source that was supplying the water or the spirit that you need. You know, you've cut off the very life source and you don't even realize it. I've seen people cut off the very life source that was causing them to flourish. And they don't even realize it because of rebellion, because of deception, you know, and that leads to complete and total dishonor. And sometimes the only way to get back right is to go back to your man of God and repent. You know, I never forget this one story. Matter of fact, it's in your book by Bishop Tudor Bismarck, where this one man, his ministry wasn't growing anymore. His things were just drying up. And he actually went to a person who was a prayer and had him pray and fast to see what was wrong with his ministry. His ministry had dried up. Things weren't flowing. And after about 3 days, this man who he had, petitioned to pray for him came to him and said, you know, you've wronged your spiritual father. You've dishonored your spiritual father. He said, you need to go back and you need to repent. You need to first bring a gift and repent and go back to your spiritual father and repent. So what this man did, he went, when he got up to the yard or to the driveway, instead of walking up the walkway, he crawled all the way to the door. And his spiritual father saw him and said, son, I've been waiting upon you. And he asked him to repent, you know, to forgive him. And I repent for what I've done. And he said from that point on, his ministry started to flourish, because anytime you walk in that level of dishonor, you know, there's going to be an execution. Like I said, not, you know, in the Bible, a lot of times there was a physical with Corinth and his crew, because they dishonored Moses and they disobeyed Moses and they walked in deception, and he had deceived several hundred people to get on his side. Moses said, those people who are going to be with God, come over here. And if y'all with Corinth and his crew, y'all stand over there. And the Bible said that the Lord opened up the ground and swallowed them. So that was a physical execution. But there's times when you are in rebellion like that, excuse me, it's gonna execute you spiritually, you know, which, excuse me, could lead to early death. There's people who've died because of walking in open rebellion and not getting it right, because it's like a cancer. It'll eventually take you out. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15, verses 23, the A part. The A stage, the end of rebellion is the same as execution, or is execution. You know, when you rebel, you're going to be executed. Rebellion is essentially an evil thing. It's twisted. It's when your mind is twisted. The word iniquity means twisted. It's not only just the sin, but you have allowed Satan to twist you. And the expression back in the 70s and 80s, there was a type of furniture called wicker furniture, which means twisted furniture. And that word iniquity, you got sin, you got transgressions, and you got iniquities. And there's a progressive level. Sin is missing the mark of what God has called you to. It's like if you're playing darts and you're aiming for the bullseye, but you fall short, you've missed the mark, but you're aiming for it. You know, you repent, you get back. You know, transgressions is when you start to sin and you transgress over or against other people, and now you're sinning, and your sin, a rape is a transgression because you've trespassed and crossed over somebody's boundaries against their will. Okay, but then there's iniquity. Iniquity is when your heart gets twisted, and your thought patterns become twisted, and now you just you know, you're off out in la la land, you know. Anyway, getting back. It says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. The biblical punishment for witchcraft is execution. Exodus 22 and 18 says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So when you're in rebellion like that and you're practicing witchcraft, and like I said, there is an execution, even if it's spiritual, that takes place. Do not involve yourself in any kind of rebellion. Those who get involved in revolts are often simple-minded people. Many of them do not even realize what's afoot. When you know, that's why it's so very important to stay away from people who are busybody, people who are shoo-shooing and saying this, you know, because it's leading into something that you don't want to get involved in. I'm sure that those people who were with Corinth during that time frame wish they would have made the right choice and got on Moses' side, but because they allowed themselves to get into deception and open rebellion against Moses, they suffered the same fate as Corinth, you know, which was execution. Absalom sent 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went their way simply, you know, and basically what happened was they were just following Absalom's orders. You know, it said they went their way with simplicity, you know, and they didn't know what they were getting involved into. But when they went into battle, you know, not only did Absalom get killed, but those who went with him, because they fought against David and he was in rebellion. Many people run into rebellion because of the blindness and the innocence and the ignorance of their hearts. You know, you don't want to be in ignorance, and you don't want to be, in blind innocence. You know, you want to make sure that you know, Lord, a lot of times, if I'm not sure about something, I step back and I say, Lord, you know, I need direction. I need instruction. I'm not going to get involved in nothing that's going to bring a reproach to me, bring a reproach to my man of God, bring a reproach to this church, you know, because I know there's penalties and consequences for that. The fruits of rebellion throughout the Bible is very clear. Execution. There is, like I said, there's a spiritual execution and there's a physical execution. When you walk into the execution stage, God will divinely displace and replace you with someone else. Your seat will be taken by another who's more worthy than you. When you walk into that execution stage, you will be divinely replaced. You know, one of the things we pray at this ministry is expose, reveal, remove, and replace. When you walk into to that area, you're going to be exposed, you're going to be removed, you're going to be replaced. When you walk into that stage of basically spiritual execution, God will divinely displace you. You're going to be displaced from where you were. You're going to be replaced with someone else. You know, and one of the things I've learned when that happens, a lot of times the replacement, they're more loyal, they're more faithful. You know, one of the things I said, Lord, I want to fulfill, this should be all of our desires. Lord, I want to fulfill my assignment. You know, first of all, Lord, you know, give me insight and understanding and revelation of what my assignment is. You know, because once you know what your assignment is, you can run with it. You know, once whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever ability God has given you to be a benefit to the body of Christ, and you begin to start to flow and to walk in that, you do it with all honor and with all glory to Him. And you want to run that race with patience and never let anything derail you. Never get off track. You know, you may lose your footing, you may fall down, but you get up, you say, Lord, I repent, I'm getting back on the course. You know, and that's why it's so very important to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, because like I said, you don't want to fall into the area of going to bed with offense, going to bed with, you know, letting the sun go down on your wrath, and then get in that passive stage, get into that critical stage, get in that political stage, and now you're getting into offense, and you're getting into deception, you know, and rebellion, and you know, and if you don't get it right, there's going to be an execution, and you're going to be replaced, and it's hard to get back on track. Amen. All right, we'll see you guys next week.